And now, look out here. Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present Hold On, the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another week here at Bob and Ray headquarters in New York. As we greet you with a fine program, one that we've spent the better part of two or three days working on.
Grinding into shape for actual presentation on the air.
Pointing up, getting all the dead wood out of, and
taking all the sharp edges off of.
Right, making real dull. And we think the studio audience is going to have a chance for some fun a little bit later, because we'll be chatting with them. And we are going to have some guests. That?
Sure is. Kirby Ayers, the strolling accordionist. Here at CBS.
Kirk, can you talk while you're playing that thing? I never knew.
Right, I can't eat, though, while I'm playing.
What have you been doing lately? Still wandering the corridors here? Or?
I did a short hit stop the Pentagon. I was strolling around there for morale.
That's all?
Yes.
How'd it go over?
Well, I wandered in on a missile meeting and...
Oh, yeah, well...
I would have had to scrape them off the ceiling.
I should imagine.
So,
now you're back here.
Here I am.
Okay, well, I hope you'll be keeping up the good work with the executive offices, the sales department, as you stroll through the corridors.
The promotion department.
Right, and the publicity department, and the public relations department.
That's it. Oh, every apartment you can think of. Every apartment.
Department.
Oh, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay, Kurt, thanks very much. Kirby has let me on.
And now Wally Ballou is at International Airport out in Long Island, where he's about to interview somebody live and on tape. So come in, please. Wally. Oh, wait a minute. Engineer's nodding. He hasn't made contact with him yet.
Well, it's only out the idle while. It's what?
I don't care where he is. You have to have contact. There they are. Go ahead.
Dubs like that, what do you expect? Oh, this is Radio's Wally Ballou. Greeting you from the airport where arrivals of transoceanic airplanes are a commonplace thing. One has just arrived now, and I want to chat with a couple of the passengers. A lady, very attractive lady, has caught my eye over here to the outer rim of the crowd. Ma'am?
Yes?
I wonder if you've just landed here from overseas.
That's right. I just arrived... From Amsterdam, I have hidden about my person $4 million worth of diamonds.
I see you. Then you are a professional smuggler. Is that...
That's right. I get a percentage of the amount I take in.
I've always wondered about the cute ways in which smugglers manage to bring in contraband material like that. Could you tell us?
Oh, there are many ways. For instance, on this trip, I'm using hollow shoe heels, and I have a drop-away bottom in the bag.
Uh-huh.
And this is a fake nose I got.
And,
loaded with diamonds.
Is that so?
If I could sneeze on you like that song says, you'd be a millionaire.
Yes, sir. Well, it's rather difficult, of course, to go into a line of work like this. You must have had to spend quite a while making contacts, both in foreign countries and here at home.
Yes, on both sides. I have to establish contacts. It's something that you can't go to school to learn. It's only through experience. You have to be able to, get wind of a copper almost instinctively. There's a lot to learn, but there's a good deal of satisfaction.
I should imagine.
You can sit at home at night knowing that you've done a job well.
Done well.
Yes.
Have you ever had any close calls, any times when you thought you were going to be arrested?
Well, about this time, I might be caught because my heel caught in one of those gratings over the hot air system. You know, these narrow heels that were worrying you.
Yes.
Well, I got stuck there, and a nice customs man came over and helped me out.
Didn't break the heel or anything.
No.
Luckily for you.
He never noticed at all. Although it took two men really to lift my shoe. It's that heavy with diamonds.
I see. It must be kind of difficult to walk.
But he didn't notice, yeah.
Well, good luck to you. And where will you be going from here to meet the fence and get rid of everything?
Yes, I go from here by cab to a fence in New York City. Then from there, I go out to San Francisco. And from there, I'm going to the Far East to do some more smuggling.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be busy now until my vacation in August.
What's that, engineer? Oh, there's two gentlemen over there are beckoning to you, ma'am. I think they just want to say hello.
Oh, coming.
And there she goes across the lobby here at the airport and is having quite a serious discussion with the two gentlemen who... I wonder, sir, you are one of the two who was talking with the lady.
Yes.
I'm Wally Blue on the radio.
I'd like to have you come along too, Baloo.
Fine.
And nothing serious. We don't have anything on you.
No.
Just want you to more or less... confirm what we heard on the radio.
Yes.
Okay.
Always glad to do my bit.
All right.
And now this is Radio's Wally Ballou returning it to our studio. Hope she didn't slip anything in the Wally's pocket because that could get him into some trouble, huh?
Well, time now to talk about, United States savings bonds.
We have a story of a middle-aged Pennsylvania couple whose names will be withheld to protect the innocent and us, although it could be Mr. and Mrs. Seymour Metcalf.
Or Vernon and Fanny Culpepper, but that's very unlikely.
And as it happened, they've been saving a considerable amount of money in United States savings bonds. They were planning to buy a praline stand in St. Petersburg, Florida, on their savings when they retired.
However, when the time came, he took the money and ran off to Acapulco with a blonde lady. Smuggler.
Now remember, whatever you're saving for, the sure way is with United States Savings Bonds.
Now, this unsolicited public service message on behalf of the U.S. Treasury Department has come to you through simple courtesy on our part. Now, as a sustaining feature of the Bob and Ray Show, we bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Foggy Day at the Seawall, is taken from Book IX, Chapter VI, page 1. It's mid-morning as we look in on the family. Father and mother are standing, looking out the kitchen window. Father saying...
Sidney?
Yes?
Perhaps it would be a good day to take a stroll down by the seawall.
So foggy.
Well, I always like to walk in the fog.
Yes, there's something about the fog that's mysterious and nice.
Why don't you slip on your trench coat and we'll walk down the path?
All right, you hold it for me.
Yeah.
There we are.
All right. Right down this way. It is foggy.
Careful, I can hardly see my nose.
Careful,
in front
three,
of my face.
Three steps there. Yes. Here we are. Now it's a clear path to the seawall.
Well, except for the fog.
Yes.
I often wondered how a sea captain feels out in a deep fog.
Yes.
Sick sound, too. I mean, that's...
Yes, I've often wondered how... How ships can navigate in such fog as this. Wouldn't be good for a little boat to...
Well, they have radar now, you know.
Hey. Hear anything?
Certainly no big boat. That boat would not have radar.
I'm on a Jack!
It sounds like Jack in his runabout.
Oh, it is. Out in this fog. Oh.
Jack, my boy.
I can't hear you. He's gone way out.
Hey. What's he doing on a day like this?
Going around in circles, but that's been his life history anyway.
Going around
in circles since he learned to walk.
Jack?
I'm on a Jack.
Bring your runabout in this moment.
Can't hear you with that motor going, Pa.
No, I guess he can't. Well, perhaps the fog will lift and he'll be able to see where the dock is. I don't like to have him out there, though.
He's been out for how long? Was he in the house last night, or has he been going around all night?
I think he was there this morning, yes.
Mm. He should be due back in. Maybe he's coming in now. I hope so. Come in now, Jack. He's coming in.
Oh, Jack.
He's coming in now.
He's landed now.
Yeah.
Jack, you'd better get up to the house and get some warm clothes.
That's what happens on a foggy day at the seawall.
You've been listening to One Fella's Family, brought to you as a sustaining feature on the Bob and Ray Show. Today's episode, entitled Foggy Day at the Seawall, was taken from Book IX, Chapter VI, page 1. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messy. This is a Messy production.
And now, important news about fast relief for cold miseries.
Bob, that kind of news is always important, especially when it comes from four-way cold tablets.
Hi, I'm Mel Torme, getting ready to record some new songs. I don't mind these rehearsal sessions, but I dread a nasty cold. What kind of music can I make with body aching, feeling hot and feverish? I have to shake off cold miseries fast. So I take four-way cold tablets. Then I begin to feel better right away.
Good advice, Mel. Four-way's the fast way to relieve cold distress, even of virus colds. Clinical tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. In minutes, four-way's exclusive formula speeds wonderful pain reliever into your bloodstream and all through your body. In the same time, the other leading brands showed no trace of pain-relieving medicines. None of the other leading cold tablets, only four-way, started so fast to relieve all these cold miseries.
Relieves muscular pains, headache.
Reduces fever.
Calms upset stomach.
Also overcomes irregularity. Today, get four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve those nasty cold miseries. Four-way, only 29 cents.
Ray, we have just about 2 minutes now.
I know, Bob. I know what you're going to say. You're going to have the audience on
right.
That. But first, I think you should inform them that when they rise to pose their question, to give their name and possibly their affiliation if they're with a press association or something like that.
Okay, I'll do that. Right. Okay. Let me just step down the steps here from the stage and right to the front row. And the gentleman here, would you give me your name?
Him.
No, I've picked.
Me, him. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick him.
Me, him.
This one, this fellow right here.
Okay.
Could I have your name and affiliation, please?
Yes, my name is Alan Bunshaft. I'm with the Findlay Quality
Network. Now wait. I can't talk to you, sir.
To ask this question.
We've had too much
of that. It's bothered me quite a while. If you say something on the air that shouldn't be said, can you call the transmitter and have them stop it before it goes up the tower?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the speed of sound, sir, and I don't want to get too technical for you because I don't think you'd follow me.
Well, we at the Findlay Quality Network
often wonder
about this, and we don't know who to talk with.
No, it's a very simple
head
problem.
Head engineer at the Findlay Quality Network told me that he wasn't really up on that.
Well, I'll try to answer the question for you if you just stop throwing that name in. The speed of sound is quite a bit overrated. If we say something we want to go on the air, we merely pick up this phone here. We call master control in through that window.
We say,
hey, Joe, will you catch that last thing that went out? And we tell him what it is. I see he has a direct line.
All right,
the
you've answered him. How about some
by
others
time?
Before you say it?
All right.
Run
okay, you have one quick question.
Helen Smith of the Findlay Quality Network.
Oh, look, what have we got for an audience here?
I would like to ask you this. What's a good way to cook cabbage without having the odor of cabbage bother you?
Well, I don't know. Do you have the answer?
Clovespin over your nose.
Thanks very much. You can give our best.
We have that at Findlay Quality
Network. Yeah, all right.
All
well, back on stage now. Final thing.
That's right, and we'll be back to say toodle-doo in just 10 seconds. Do you say it, Bob?
Toodle-doo.
Thank you. Till tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network. KNX, AM and FM, CBS Radio in Los Angeles.
Ladies, why not listen to these words about... Why not listen to these words about...